It's Sound Ideas. I'm Mike McCurdy. The film director who brought audiences some of the best gangster films ever is featured at the Normal Theater during the next six-week film school. It's called From Alice to Silence, the Scorsese Style. The collection of Martin Scorsese films is curated by ISU English professor and Sound Ideas culture commentator Bill McBride. He also organized so-called film schools on Hitchcock in February and film noir movies featuring femme fatales last year. The six-week film school begins tomorrow with Scorsese's 1974 film Alice Doesn't Live Here Anymore. McBride says the fest is more film than film school.
Yeah, so we did film noir and we did Hitchcock. Well, the mayor, generous grant, it's free to and open to the public, and we get a pretty good house each night of the 6 weeks. It's a film school in the sense that I do a brief introduction, we show the film, folks are allowed to leave, and then when everyone's gone who wants to go, although not many leave, I say a few things, and then I open it up to questions.
And any progression or connection in mind between the first film festival about femme fatales, the second one on Hitchcock, and then the Scorsese film school?
I think so. I mean, those film noirs are pretty much from the 40s and 50s. Hitchcock, you know, went into later. We're progressing. Scorsese now, here he is. He's still making films. He's working on a couple right now.
Why Scorsese?
So he's the first of the directors. I want to do some other ones, dedicate the festival to other ones. He's the first one to attend film school. Famously, Orson Welles watched Stagecoach 40 times before he made Citizen Kane. Incidentally, Citizen Kane is one of the three of the holy trinity of films that Martin Scorsese bows down to, if you will. It's Citizen Kane, The Red Shoes, and The Leopard, a Visconti film. And Adam Fox over at the Normal is probably going to also screen Red Shoes, and he's looking to get The Leopard, and that would be wonderful.
So why this collection of films? How did it come together?
Well, you'll notice in the list, there are no mafia films, although Marty is known for those, particularly Goodfellas.
Well, that's my next question. So let me get to that first, and we'll come back why you chose these films. Why no gangster films? The Departed won Best Picture, for an Oscar for Best Picture.
It did, and it's got Jack Nicholson. I mean, that was a tough one not to include. I think that the six I chose, have the most style, what I like to call stylized moments, and it's in the title of each of the film festivals so far, and it's in this title as well, where he does things with camera, with lighting, with editing, that communicates meaning. And so these six made the grade.
And the gangster films didn't have that style?
Well, there's a terrific long take in Goodfellas that some of my friends and colleagues have nudged me asking.
Me included.
Yes. Well, I consider you a friend. And there's some interesting things in The Departed that could have made the grade as well. I don't know. Maybe it's my going against the grain. I have that.
Let's talk about the 1974 film Alice Doesn't Live Here Anymore. That opens the film festival on September 27th. What do we learn about filmmaking and Scorsese from this film?
That's a terrific question. HBO picked this movie up maybe a year after its release, right when HBO started. And I was staying in an apartment in Manhattan that had HBO, and I was unemployed. And they played the movie over and over again. So I got to see it in a pre-VCR kind of way and studied it. There's just terrific performances here. I love the script. I'm not talking too much about the style. There will be a nice lap dissolve when we see the two waitresses sunning themselves. And then Scorsese lap dissolves to a camera much, much further away. And it's breathtaking.
And a lap dissolve is?
A lap dissolve is moving from one image to the other. They do it in the lab. They do it in the cutting room. You
just fade out and fade in.
You fade one out and you bring the other one in, yes. And so, it usually means that time has elapsed.
What does it say early on about this director? That he's versatile? That he can do anything? I mean, it is sort of uncharacteristic from what we know about Scorsese later in his career.
Yes. He gets just the best performances out of Ellen Burstyn, and that singer, that Kris Kristofferson, carries the role terrifically. He later on is going to be acting with Barbara Streisand and so on. But this is the beginning of his acting career. And Scorsese, I mean, to have cast him, first off, I thought was a brilliant gesture. And what he gets from him is equally great.
Well, we have a singer in The Last Temptation of Christ, too. So we'll get to that in a minute. I want to talk about Taxi Driver. It's the only Scorsese film in your 6-week film school featuring Robert De Niro. It's not certainly the only time the two have worked together.
No.
Is this film on the list because of the politics in such a politically charged time? What do you make about its connection to the attempt on President Reagan's life?
Well, I mean, the imbecile who tried to kill Reagan watched Taxi Driver over and over and over
again. As many times as you watched Alice Doesn't Live Here Anymore.
or Orson Welles watched Stagecoach, yes. I don't know what all those connections are. But and he tried to kill Reagan in order to get Jodie Foster's attention.
Who was also in the film.
Who was in the film.
Plays a 12-year-old, her name's Isis, or Iris.
Iris, and she's named that on purpose because of the eye, and we don't know she's a girl until later in the film, and it's this film, brilliantly written, terrifically directed. There's a spectacular jump cut in the middle of the film when Travis Bickle, De Niro, is staring at the mirror, and he's impersonating sticking someone up and shooting someone. And Marty just cuts it and does a retake, and it explodes the film. It reminds you you're watching a film and all of those things that jump cuts do.
And what about the politics? Chosen for the movie's style or the politics that is in this film?
I'm going to go style first, although don't get me wrong. I'm a political animal, as most of us are, and this film speaks volumes, not only because it's based on a real-life event of an assassination of, I think it was George Wallace, Bremer. And then it's taken up and put on the screen as a fictional account, and then it goes back into real life. So it's art and life interpenetrating each other, and that's fascinating.
Yeah, the pitch on this film in Hollywood must have been fascinating because it is a film that's hard to describe.
Yes.
You mentioned the Are You Looking At Me scene where he's looking in the mirror.
Yes, yes.
I think this is a more powerful monologue, and it gets at De Niro's character. Let's listen to this, and then let's talk about it afterwards.
God for the rain, which has helped wash away the garbage and the trash off the sidewalks. I'm working long hours now, 6 in the afternoon to 6 in the morning, sometimes even 8 in the morning, 6 days a week, sometimes 7 days a week. It's a long hustle, but it keeps me real busy. I can take in 350 a week, sometimes even more when I do it off the meter. Skunk, buggers, queens, fairies, dopers, junkies, sick, venal. Someday a real rain will come and wash all this scum off the streets.
It's Robert De Niro as Travis Bickle, a real people person, eh?
Oh, boy.
It makes you wonder if there are some real Travis Bickles out there. What about the look, the feel, the music, and the acting in Taxi Driver? How's it all come together for you?
Let's start with Bernard Herrmann's, the great Hitchcock composer, right? And Marty gets him, and I know that was a coup, and he was jumping up and down. That's a film noir, in a way. That voiceover, that's characteristic of film noir.
That scene is actually at night, most of it.
Yes, yes. And you know, all the buggers come out at night is a line, another way of saying it in the film. The script is just brilliant. And that's we're alone with this guy. Usually we're alone with Humphrey Bogart or a detective who is telling us the story. But it's told from this guy's perspective, and that gets under your skin in an odd way as well.
And the shots of the taxi make the taxi a character.
It does. Yes, there are these disembodied as camera just, you know, gives you side shots and low angle shots of the cab. Yeah.
A film set in New York City, another film set in New York City, but in New York City of 1863. And it is a gangster film, but not a mafia film.
Yes.
Gangs of New York showing on October 25th. I can't put my finger on it, but I don't really care for this film. Do you like it?
I love this film.
Why do you like it?
Well, that's a good question. First off, again, I seem to be actor friendly here, but that performance of Butcher Bill is just brilliant.
By Daniel Day-Lewis.
Daniel Day-Lewis, the great Irish actor who, he'll make a film and then he says, I'm quitting. I'm not making another film. And then 5 years later, he comes back.
He's done that again recently.
Yes.
And any connection between the 1912 film Musketeers of Pig Alley and Scorsese's Gangs of New York? That was in some notes you sent me.
Yeah, allegedly, Marty studied that film quite a bit, an early, early film, and tried to apply some of the things he learned.
And that's ISU English professor Bill McBride and Sound Ideas culture commentator and the man behind the 6-week film schools at the Normal Theater. Previous film fests have been on film noir and femme fatales and Alfred Hitchcock. This time it's films directed by Martin Scorsese. Last Temptation of Christ was on Scorsese's list to make for more than a decade before he was able to get to it. Why?
Well, I don't know. I mean, he's a busy fella, and this is a very personal film for Marty. As you know, as I mentioned to you, before we went on the air, he and I have connections, both raised in New York, both raised Catholic, both raised altar boys. There's something about being up on the stage, if you will, of the altar. You really get an early sense for theater and for power, the power that the priest has, the power that the director has. In third grade, about on our back wall, we painted ourselves. What would we be when we grew up? I was going to be a priest until somebody explained celibacy to me, and then that went by the wayside. But there is a way in which I'm a priest and in front of the classroom, and I'm preaching the texts I've chosen and the films I've chosen. And that power dynamic, I think, Marty also appreciated.
This movie is based on a controversial 1955 book. The movie was just as controversial in 88. Why?
Yeah, Kazan Zakas's novel, which is a great read. I recommend it. I've got some students reading it. You have Jesus comes down off the cross, and it's his last temptation, but we don't really know that. He just comes down and gets married and has a family. And you can imagine the church and those who would want an Orthodox New Testament reading of Jesus would not appreciate that.
Let's listen to another scene from one of these films. This is David Bowie as Pontius Pilate and Willem Dafoe as Jesus.
Tell me what you tell people on the streets.
Yes.
Yes.
The prophet Daniel had a vision. A tall statue had a gold head and silver shoulders. The stomach was bronze, the legs were iron, the feet were clay. A stone was thrown. The clay feet broke and the statue collapsed.
Yes?
You see, God threw the stone. The stone's me in Rome.
Rome is the statue.
Yes.
So your kingdom, or your world, will replace Rome. Where is it?
My kingdom. It's not here. Not on Earth.
Wouldn't be, would it? You know, it's one thing to want to change the way that people live, but you want to change how they think and how they feel.
All I'm saying is that change will happen with love, not with killing.
Either way, it's dangerous. It's against Rome. It's against the way the world is. And killing or loving, it's all the same. It simply doesn't matter how you want to change things. We don't want them changed.
Willem Dafoe and David Bowie in The Last Temptation of Christ, showing on October 11th as part of the six-week film festival at the Normal Theater, featuring Martin Scorsese films. Bill McBride's in the studio. He's the man behind the six-week film schools. What do you think of the casting in this movie?
Well, I love the casting, and it's typical Hollywood, although Marty isn't typical Hollywood. Here we have Jesus, played by Willem Dafoe.
Blue-eyed.
And an American. Notice Pontius Pilate has a British accent. If you look at American films, evil folks, we just did Maltese Falcon in one of my classes. And, of course, Humphrey Bogart, he's got that good Brooklyn American accent. But Sidney Greenstreet is evil and from England. This is classic casting, Hollywood casting.
Movie critic Gene Siskel said the effect of this film on him was to make the message of Jesus more accessible. If he had doubts and fears, then we can be more comfortable with our own. If Jesus can resist temptation, then maybe we can too. What do you think of that assessment?
I love that. And, imitation of Christ, it's easier perhaps to do so if you think Jesus has some human qualities. This is, again, Paul Schrader's screenplay. Like he did with Taxi Driver is brilliant.
And maybe some unattributed rewrites from Scorsese himself on this script as well.
That's right. And Peter Gabriel, also nominated for an Academy Award for his score, which is luscious.
Hugo is the only animated film directed by Martin Scorsese. It shows on November 1st. Why this anomaly, or is it an anomaly?
Well, it's certainly an anomaly in that it's not live action. It's an anomaly that it's allegedly a children's film. To be quite honest, it's a film my 10-year-old daughter can come to on a Wednesday night, and she can see her daddy up there in front of the screen. So it's an amusing film. I love it, and it's for all ages.
How many G or PG movies has Scorsese made? Not many, no. Silence is his latest, and it's unfair to judge any film by its box office, but this made back less than half of its $50 million budget. What do you think of this film?
I love this film. I love the novel.
And briefly, it's about two missionaries go to Japan to try to find their colleague.
Yes. To try to find Liam Neeson. Yeah. It's a religious film in its own way. Marty, as we've said, is a not practicing but a born and raised Catholic. And you know, as the Jesuits say, if they get you before you're 5 years old, they've got you forever.
What do you want to say about this collection of films as a group? These six films.
The festival has now graduated to living directors and directors who have been to film school. And I think that that is a benefit and will pay off. Not that the Hitchcock films or the film noirs were lacking in style or any of that. It's just more of a conversation with a modern day director. And I hope to do some more. I'm not going to mention who or that may be, but I'm looking forward to showing these films coming from someone alive and working amongst us.
What is the one or two overriding stylistic things that maybe connect these films? Something that you would look at and go, oh, that's Scorsese.
You know, I might have been able to answer this before we started talking because as I've been talking, it seems to me I'm talking more about the performances.
And what about the films not on the list? Raging Bull,
boy.
One of the top 100 of the last century, Casino,
yeah.
Goodfellas, the remake of Cape Fear. All of those happen to have De Niro in them. Maybe the next film festival is a De Niro film fest.
Look at that. And maybe we could get Bobby here, you know?
Might be a long shot.
Yeah, just like Marty.
Bill, thanks for stopping by Sound Ideas and to talk about these Scorsese films.
Thanks for having me, Mike.
Bill McBride is organizing From Alice to Silence, the Scorsese style at the Normal Theater. Alice Doesn't Live Here Anymore shows tomorrow at the Normal Theater at 7 p.m. Find the full schedule at WGLT.org.